afternoon. Welcome to Inspiration Corner. I'm your host, Rebecca Pearson. I am so excited to be here once again on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I can't believe the sun is out. Yesterday was horrible. But today is looking fabulous, and I'm excited because we have an awesome guest to you all the way from New York. I have brought with me today Miss Karen Brody, who is an author and playwright of the play Birth. And we're going to be talking about today giving birth in America. So all those men who are listening, you might want to like close your ears because this is going to get interesting. Oh, you might want to keep them open because this is going to be an interesting topic. It's something I've never really talked about before, or I haven't had a guest really come in and talk about giving birth in America, what it's like for American women. Karen's going to give us some in-depth look at why she decided to write this type of play and what's behind birth and what are some options women have here in America. So, Karen, first of all, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
You are absolutely welcome. And I know it was a long drive you guys had yesterday, so I'm glad you got here safely.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. So I always like to start off with a statistic, and I found one on health.bloggingbaby.com. And according to the this statistic, it goes like this. The National Center for Health Statistics has just reported that never before in American history have so many women given birth via cesarean sections. According to the report, nearly 1.2 million C-sections were performed in 2004, accounting for 29.1% of all births that year. That is up from 27.5% in 2003 and 20.7% in 1996. And I want to talk about this because I think almost every woman who's had a child has a birth story. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. So, Karen, tell us a little bit about your background. What made you decide to do what you're doing?
Well, I was having a baby in 1999 in Arkansas. And I had my son at home. And I didn't, all I knew at the time was that I felt safest at home. Mm-hmm. And so I found some midwives, had them at home, and the experience was incredible. It wasn't easy. The pushing wasn't easy.
I was going to ask that.
My second baby, the pushing was a lot easier.
Okay.
But my first son, it was a hard pushing, 2.5 hours, Very intense pushing stage, mm-hmm. but I had three midwives surrounding me, my husband holding me from behind. I was squatting, which is exactly the position I wanted to be in. Mm-hmm. And everyone was chanting, "You can do it."
Wow.
And for me, mentally, that was the difference between being able to do it and not doing it. An hour into the birth, into the pushing stage, I thought, well, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to push. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
that's another story.
You know, I remember saying that to the midwife, and everyone believed I could do it, and that mental message got through to me, mm-hmm. and I got in the mindset, and I felt like I was climbing a mountain, and I got to the top, and I realized this was a really powerful, profound experience.
So is that what kind of pushed you to start looking at other women?
Well, so I had that experience, and then about a few months later, I was watching TLC,
the baby
story.
Oh, the baby show. Oh, yeah.
Okay, the baby show.
Yeah.
And I just, I was shocked, and I was saddened to see low risk woman after low risk woman having ordinary bad birth experiences. Mm-hmm. Just, the number of women who had intervention after intervention and many times ended up with a C-section. I cried, and I didn't cry from joy. And at my birth, I was crying because it was such a joyful experience. And I thought, this just doesn't seem beautiful. This is treating birth as an illness. And to me, birth never felt like an illness.
So describe for me more the term ordinary bad birth experiences. I think some of us out there are probably wondering, ordinary and bad, it seems like an oxymoron. What do you mean by ordinary bad birth experiences?
Well, ordinary is that it's happening every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, that this unfortunately is more common than many people know. And a bad birth experience is an experience that, you know, when women reflect on their experience, while they may have made certain choices, they had a traumatic birth in some way.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, my case, for example, thinking I was going to go in there and I already knew it was going to hurt. And I already knew, you know, I'm going to have an epidural. I don't care what anybody says. And when I got in there and had the epidural, after 18 hours of pushing, I couldn't dilate any more than 1.5. And my mother, who had flown from California, was like, somebody better get this baby out of my daughter. I'm going to get the baby out myself. You know, what can we do? It should not have gone to 18 hours because I ended up having to have that emergency C-section. My son swallowed a meconium. He had to be on you know, antibiotics. And then I myself, they couldn't stop the bleeding. And my husband was terrified. And now to this day, he's like, we're not having any more kids. I don't care. Because that was a horrible experience for him. Now, I'm unconscious. I didn't know. But now that I look back on it, I can see how that could be very frightening for him and probably for me if I had known what was happening at the time. So that's kind of what you mean by it should have been a beautiful moment and it turned into 18, 19 hours of hell almost for me.
Yeah, and birth, you know, birth, an 18-hour birth is not abnormal. Mm-hmm. But certainly if you were getting an epidural and you got an epidural anywhere before 3 centimeters, mm-hmm. That's too early to get an epidural. And women don't know these.
They don't know
the information mm-hmm. that going into a hospital, and many hospitals won't even give you an epidural before 3 centimeters. But going into a hospital and not being in full labor and getting an epidural, you know, you're setting yourself up for intervention after intervention, and you
Absolutely.
Can almost write the story. You can
Literally.
Almost write your story.
And you,
I hate to say it.
No, it's true, because what happened, and this is why I think why this discussion is so important, for especially for those young women who are about to have babies, their first baby in particular. When I went to my Lamaze courses, it was the instructor who said, as soon as you see that anesthesiologist, grab him and get that epidural, because you don't know when he or she's going to come back. And by the time they come back, you might be so far along that you can't have that epidural. So I kept that in my mind. So when I saw the anesthesia or the person who comes in and does the epidural, she was like, do you want it now or later? And I was like, oh, you're not going to leave me here. I want that thing now. But, you know, that stayed with me was, oh, when you see him, get him, because it might be too late later.
Right.
And that's frightening.
And that's what women think. And the fear that we have around birth and the way the media portrays birth, mm-hmm. Birth is an emergency. And the pain seems so frightening, because you always see a show, a television show or a movie where the woman's going, ah,
screaming her head off,
and so everybody thinks this.
Painful.
Yeah. And so I need to get that epidural at the door. You know, and as
neat.
One of the characters in my play said, you know, I'm going to have the anesthesiologist
yeah.
meet me at the front door to get my epidural.
And I definitely want to get more into your characters, talk about them. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Karen Brody, who's an author and playwright of the play Birth, which is actually premiering tonight at the Firehouse Theater on West Broad. And I'm really excited for you. And I definitely want to get more into what were some of the stories you got from the women you interviewed about their birthing process.
Well, the play is really a snapshot of how women are giving birth today. So, mm-hmm. You know, and always the challenge in a play is to combine a topic that's very serious, and childbirth, I mm-hmm. feel, is a very serious topic, and it's a political topic, and to combine that with humor.
Absolutely.
And other elements, dramatic elements that get people into the stories. So, you know, I chose stories based on definitely what were the typical stories I was hearing mm-hmm. in the United States, but also perhaps if they had an element of drama that was useful for a play, you know, it felt like that might be something worth using. But they were all typical story. I mean, no story that's told in the play is one that I hadn't heard maybe 10 or 15 times.
Give us an example.
Oh, an example would of an ordinary bad birth would be a Sandy's character in the play. Mm-hmm. She felt that birth was just one day. So
one day,
yeah, you know, so what's the big deal one day, you know, mm-hmm. What's it, as she says in the play, you know, how bad is it to be around someone you don't like for one day? And she didn't like her OB.
Wow.
And this is a very typical situation where the caregiver that the pregnant woman is going to, the pregnant woman doesn't feel
connected.
Mm-hmm. But, hey, you know, I'm just going to go in and have my baby. So, and I heard this a lot, this theme of
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, and so Sandy went into her birth, and she was told her baby was going to be a big baby, which already promotes the mental message that this is going to hurt. You know, when you you're told something's big and it's coming out of a small
hole,
hole,
you're like, oh my God.
You know, that psychologically sets you up to not believe that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she went through her labor, got an epidural. She never thought she wasn't going to have an epidural. And when she dilated to 10 centimeters, which is when you can push, she began to push. The baby's heartbeat dropped. She didn't know where it dropped to, but she she knew, she was told they're going to have to do a C-section. Now, it certainly couldn't have been an emergency because she was sitting on a gurney in the hallway waiting 30 minutes to be prepped for a C-section, and she was using all of her breathing techniques she was taught in her childbirth class to hold her baby in instead of wanting to push the baby out. And when she pushed the baby out, the doctor said to her, "You can't give birth to this baby." At that point, he now announced the baby was 11 pounds.
Wow.
So she's frightened beyond belief. And when the baby came out, it was 6 pounds, 6 ounces. And this is not an unusual story.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows what the baby's weight's going to
be until they come out.
So
right.
That's, always impossible to predict, even with an ultrasound. But still, Sandy's story, she was very wounded from her birth. And, that's one story. There are other triumphant, beautiful stories in the play that show, for example, Jillian is a character in the play she's the only character where you see her birth journey. She gave birth 4 times.
Oh, the stay-at-home mother.
And she's a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
She lives down in Texas. Now, it's based on these are based on true women.
Okay, good. I was going to ask
all
that.
All seven are 7 of the 118 women I interviewed.
Okay.
So I did pick true stories of these women. And Jillian lives down in South Texas now. And her births ran the gamut. She, she went into her first birth thinking, it's birth, and she ended up not having a great birth experience. Mm-hmm. And by the end, she had a home birth in a water birth. And she had a transformation and showed that women don't have to have the same experience twice.
Absolutely,
you've had a birth experience that doesn't resonate well with you, that you think, you know what, I would like it to be different next time, you can make it different. You can change your previous birth story. You can do that by educating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Jillian had the message in the beginning of her birth journey with her first baby that her body was a lemon, that her body, birth isn't normal. But by the end, she got it. Birth is normal. Birth is not an illness. And that her body, as Ina Mae Gaskin, the mother of midwifery, says, she likes to tell women, pregnant women, your body is not a lemon. Your body works.
Absolutely.
And let it work. And without drugs, you can see how the body can work in labor. But with drugs, you really don't know what normal birth is.
Yeah.
And this play is not an advertisement for one way of giving birth.
Absolutely.
But you can see just by the stories, if you don't intervene in a natural process, you're going to know what birth is
really about.
But
yeah,
when you intervene, you can't tell how that birth was going to go because there's an intervention that's been done, and that's not normal.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's
just
not
normal.
Not normal.
Absolutely. I see what you're saying. So when you were compiling your stories together, did you do any research on the history of birthing in America?
I did. I mean, I certainly I read up. I knew a lot of the statistics, and I did do stuff. And I actually, before I started this play, which I thought was going to be a book before I turned it into a play, I was listening to women's stories, and then I thought, I'm going to write this book, and it turned into a play. But that's a whole nother story.
I can relate to that. Trust
yes,
me.
But actually, the I was interviewing a lot of women in the United States who gave birth in the 1950s.
Wow.
And that's a period that really is remarkably similar to some ways that women are birthing today, because women back then really just followed doctors' orders. And unfortunately, I think a lot of women today aren't owning their power that they have. And when they're being told that, oh, this baby's big, you might need a C-section, they're not thinking that maybe they don't. If they don't want to. If they want to, mm-hmm. that's their choice. But there's not a lot of education around the options and birth options.
And that's kind of what we want to look at, the options around giving birth. Because I don't it is true, especially, you know, I'm 33 and got pregnant with the first baby. My only frame of reference was my mother. And, of course, you know, she gave birth to me in 1972. So things are different in 72 than they are in 2001, giving birth. But, you know, her advice was to enjoy it because it's a very unique experience. Women are made to deliver babies. And if you look at the history of birthing, drugs weren't brought into the picture until way later on. I mean, for centuries, women have been giving birth without any type of drugs, you know, having babies naturally. And so it's an interesting experience. And this is why I want to talk about this, because there are a lot of options out there. And I wanted our audience to hear what some of them are and how they can also take control of the situation of this experience and be fine with it. So let's get into a little bit about the myths surrounding midwifery. Talk about midwifery a little bit, because people hear about midwives and they're like, what's a midwife? Or, you know, they hear these horrible old stories about midwives, and I kind of want to dispel the myth about a midwife. And then tell me, what is a doula? I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly, but a doula.
A doula.
Doula. Yeah. I know I pronounced it incorrectly, so tell me about that.
Well, midwives, you know, it's funny when I interviewed people, because usually, well, the common perception of a midwife is midwives are witches, midwives.
Yes.
Midwives are Birkenstock-wearing hippies who deliver babies in cornfields, you know. And, you know, nothing can be further from the truth. There's also the myth that midwives aren't qualified to deliver babies, when, in fact, midwives have a much lower C-section rate than the average hospital birth.
Okay, wow.
And their statistics are incredible for birthing women, but there is a real distrust that is surprising when it comes to midwives, because midwives actually are with women throughout labor and delivery.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin was giving birth about 5 years ago and came to me, was researching. I was very happy to see researching her birthing options.
Uh-huh.
And she was going to go with an obstetrician, and she came to me, and it's not whether an obstetrician is better than a midwife, but she said, my obstetrician said he's going to show up when I'm pushing. And the labor and delivery nurses will be there through the labor mm-hmm. part, but the labor part is often the longest stretch.
It is, yes.
And the obstetrician said he might come in and check on her, but that was going to be it. A midwife stays with women continuously through their labor. I mean, there's nothing like someone who, they know your body. They've gotten to know you before mm-hmm. the birth, and they know you when you're in giving birth. And a good midwife is following a very loving midwife model of care, which, you know, they believe birth is normal.
Okay.
And unfortunately, in hospitals, you know, many people haven't seen normal birth because mm-hmm. of all the interventions that are done. Doesn't mean you can't have one. Actually, in my play, there's a character, Amanda, who has an ecstatic birth in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening. but I think the mental mindset has to be there, that I want this to happen and I want to mm-hmm. make it happen. Women have to be advocates for themselves in the labor and delivery rooms.
So then what is I'm going to kill the word again.
Oh, a doula.
Yeah, what's a doula?
A doula is a labor, simply put, a labor assistant.
Okay.
I mean, she is very similar to a midwife in the sense that she is supports a woman both prenatally mm-hmm. and also during the birth. And some doulas also they all do some postpartum care, but some do extensive postpartum care where they'll be with the woman for weeks after the birth. But doulas are just, you know, in the play, one of the characters described a doula as your childbirth educator, your best friend, and, you know, just somebody who's there for you, knowledgeable about birth mm-hmm. and can help you make birth choices at a moment when you might not be in the best frame of mind during labor to make those choices.
And are you a doula?
I was a doula in Arkansas for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit, going into a little bit about your history. I understand you have a group called the Tacoma Birth Parking? No, wait. Tacoma Park Birthing Circle?
I founded the Tacoma Park Birthing Circle in the Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. I actually now live in New York, so I'm not with them anymore. But
okay.
Yeah, the Tacoma Park Birthing Circle, it's a network of people who are concerned about mm-hmm. birthing women and birthing women coming to monthly gatherings where we educate people about their birth options. Mm-hmm. We also celebrate birth, celebrate women's pregnant bodies. We do everything from belly dancing we have a thriving listserv where we
wow.
share information. Uh-huh. And the listserv's very powerful. Women mm-hmm. get information online. In a listserv, you can tell people about things that are going mm-hmm. on in the community that they wouldn't be able to find sitting in their homes, and especially pregnant women, so they can join the listserv in Washington, D.C.
I love that idea. And I think it's, I don't know, birth. I remember growing up thinking or saying, and I was saying this as a young woman, I'll never have children because I don't want to go through that experience. And, you know, because all the stories you read and the things that you hear. And now as I'm getting older and, you know, I have one child, I'm saying to myself, I think I'd like to do this again. Of course, it's convincing my mate to do it as well from the first experience. Yeah. But from your play, what are three things you want your audience to walk away from this play with after they have seen it? Men and women, what do you hope that it does for the audience?
Well, I'd like people, men and women, to really understand that birth is beautiful, birth is normal, it's not an illness. And definitely for low-risk women, you know, it doesn't have to be a typical birth as entertainment scenario.
Birth as entertainment?
Birth as entertainment, a woman screaming her head off.
Okay.
Sort of, you know, that is what we see on mm-hmm. TV.
It is.
And that gets into our mindset. And that's why people rush to the hospital when they get the first labor pain. Because
yeah.
that's what you see on TV, a woman going,
And then
she feels the pain and boom, she goes off. And that's the craziest thing to do. Get in a bathtub. Take, you know, if your water hasn't broke, you know, take a warm bath, light some candles, stay at home. I mean, there are things you don't have to run to a hospital with the first labor pain. Call your care practitioner. Tell them what you're feeling. You know, you may be further along than you think, but when you time your contractions, you'll know and tune into your body.
I like that. I absolutely like that idea. What else do you want your audience to walk away with?
Well, I've really, I'd like them to be more informed about birth options, to mm-hmm. really see that in the play and to understand the potential of interventions during birth, that mm-hmm. one intervention can lead to another, and really see that it doesn't mean that if you want an epidural, it doesn't mean don't have an epidural, but understand the potential for mm-hmm. The consequences of having an epidural.
The
risks.
Yeah.
Also, I want them to become advocates for themselves, when they're giving birth. If you are a woman and you're in during prenatal care, you're pregnant, and you don't like your doctor,
say something.
Find another one. And I'm talking about even at 35 mm-hmm. weeks, when you're 5 weeks away from delivery, mm-hmm. don't go into birth giving birth with people you don't want in the room.
You know, that is, I'm sitting here remembering my own birth experience, and I'm sitting here thinking, I loved my OBGYN. She was a wonderful doctor. But when I went into labor, she was not there. I had to have another doctor. And I remember being disappointed that she wasn't going to be there because I was used to her. But the lady that I did have, she was wonderful also. But I really was kind of taken aback that I didn't have my OBGYN there, who'd been with me the whole time that I'd been pregnant and monitoring me. And then I also remember vaguely, because I was drugged up with the epidural most of the time, I really don't remember my birth experience that much because I was in a daze. And I remember thinking, after I had my son and I got to hold him, I remember thinking, I don't think I like this drug thing, because I can't even, only thing I can remember is the bottom half of my body was moving and I couldn't feel it. Mm. And so I don't know if that's a good, well, it's a bad thing for me now I think about it. I'm not saying that epidurals are all bad, but I really like the idea of being an advocate for your birth, because although I know that I'm unfortunately one of those women that, because of a small entryway, cannot deliver naturally, I do know that I could probably find other ways in which to take care of myself while I'm doing this, you know, get a doctor, make sure they're there when I'm actually going into labor, and be okay with it, because it can be something that can put you off, you know what I mean, from wanting to have more children, and it shouldn't be.
Well, I just want women to know that they can question what's being told to them.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're being told you have a small entryway or anything mm-hmm. that you're being told, question it. think about it, you know, doesn't mean it is true or isn't true, but there that
don't take everybody's word for it.
Don't take everyone's word for it. You know, you can do the research, and you can also, if you want something like a natural birth, I mean, it's, you go to a place where people believe in natural birth. You don't, you know, I had a great friend in New York City going to an obstetrician who she told her she wanted natural birth, and that obstetrician doesn't support natural birth. I mean, she didn't flat out say that, but she didn't even encourage her to take a childbirth course. So I think that if you want something and you're surround yourself with people who want it too.
Absolutely.
Go to if birth network, and Richmond has a great birthing community.
Let's talk about it a little bit, because we're running down on time, and it's such an interesting topic, and of course we could talk forever about this. but I want to narrow down what are some resources that women in the Richmond area can go to learn more about their birthing options? You have a couple websites they can visit, places they can call?
Yeah, I would really encourage them to visit the motherwisebirth.org website. Motherwise Birth Resources, they educate and promote access to birth options in Richmond. They're a fabulous group that's been around. Again, it's motherwisebirth.org. And there's also ICANN of Richmond. ICANN stands for the International Cesarean Awareness Network.
Okay.
And so women who've had a cesarean and may not want a cesarean the next time, or want to just heal from a cesarean.
Yeah, because it takes a while.
Because there's post-traumatic stress involved with having a cesarean.
That's a whole other discussion.
And any traumatic birth.
Yeah.
And so ICANN of Richmond's a really supportive place, and ICANN of Richmond@yahoo.com is the place to go for
that. Yahoo.com.
Yeah.
Before we go, tell me what else do you want to do? Are there more plays in you for, you know, your writing experience? How has that been, first of all, writing a play and then getting it staged? And do you have any other, plays that you want to do? Are you going to write any more stories? I understand you also write articles about just about everything probably. What else do you want to do as a writer?
Well, I am writing a play about my grandmother right now.
Okay.
But I am very, I'm also getting together a book of birth, the play that's at the Firehouse Theater Project. It's, that's going to come out in March. And so I'm busy having someone write the foreword, write an introduction, having information in that book for women, but it will be the script for the play.
Okay.
So people can read the script. And you know, I really want this play. I mean, it is already going into communities all across the United States, and I want that to continue in a way similar to the Vagina Monologues, where, you know, it sparks discussion and dialogue, because that's really, I think, why the play is taking off, because communities are seeing, wait a minute, well, these statistics on C-sections, while it may say 29.1% for the is the national average, in many cities it's 40-50% in hospitals.
Yeah.
And so women know that in their local communities, and they want to talk about that. And this play, you can see the play, and then you afterwards, it's a great springboard to discuss birth locally throughout the country.
Well, I can't wait to go see the play myself. It is premiering tonight at the Firehouse Theater. It's here from January the 12th through the 22nd here in the Richmond area, and it has been traveling. Give us your website so people can learn more about you, learn more about the play, where it's coming to next. What's your website?
Please go to www.birththeplay.com.
Birththeplay.com. And with that, I am so excited that you came here today. Karen, thank you once again for coming all the way down from New York to not only be on our show, but to be here for the premiere of your play, which I'm really excited as a fellow playwright. I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
And hopefully we can continue this conversation at some other time, talking more about midwifery. And with that, I always end the show with my message for today. And today I found an Irish proverb, and it says, the three most beautiful sights, a potato garden in bloom, a ship in sail, and a woman after the birth of her first child. And I want to add on to that, if she's had a good birthing experience. So thank you for tuning in to Inspiration Corner. I'm your host, Rebecca Pierce. This is 97.3 FM WRIR. And hopefully, God willing, we'll be back next week with another fabulous guest. Thank you.